forward to the kingdom age. The kingdom age. And we're going to try to put everything in chronological order. And then we're going to kind of look at what God had to say about the kingdom. And put the kingdom, there's more than one kingdom. And a lot of people get this confused and so forth. Now we studied chapter 17 and chapter 18 of the Revelation. And that was the doom and the judgment on the religious, political, and economical system of this world under the Gentile rule, with Satan's demonic kingdom being set up. And God there, religiously and politically and economically, judged it. The last battle in this phase was the Battle of Armageddon, and yet we don't find it until chapter 19, at the close of chapter 19. So we see the judgment. We studied all that in chapter 17 and 18. Then we came to chapter 19, and the view and the narration takes us back to heaven. We've not been in heaven since chapter 4 and chapter 5. We've been on this earth, and it's not been pleasant. And so the first six verses of chapter 19 is the preparation, the praise, the all that arrangement before the wedding. Verse 7 is the wedding. We saw last Sunday night who the bride is. I'm not going to go back and revisit all of that. And we notice that the bride is called the wife here, as she is prepared in verse 8 and was arrayed in white linen, symbolic of the righteousness. And you see there the word, saints. Now, if we're honest with Scripture, the Old Testament, beginning with Aaron, were called saints. After Abraham, the word saints took on an identity. So, we'll often refer to the Old Testament saints, and then there's the New Testament saints, and then there's the tribulation saints. We combined them all together with Scripture last week to come up with the bride. It's not a Gentile bride. It's not a Jewish bride, because in Christ there is neither Jew nor Gentile. You can't argue that. There's neither male nor female. So when you find the word saints, the very last word of verse 8 describing the bride who became the wife, there's only one conclusion. And sad to say, many say it's Israel, it's the Jews. Some say it's just Gentile. I believed that for years. I taught that for years. It's a Gentile bride. He did come to call out a Gentile bride, but added with her is all of the other saints as well. Remember the important verse, in Christ there is neither Jew nor Gentile. There is none. There is no nationality known. So we find her with her garments on, righteousness. Then verse 9 is the supper that follows. We dealt with who is invited. We looked at the two parables last Sunday night and concerning the invitation to come to the wedding and come to the supper and so forth. Now, in chapter 19, verse 11, we find the second coming of Christ. So we've got the preparation for the wedding, verses 1 through 6. We got the wedding, 7 and 8. We got the supper after the wedding, verse 9 and 10. Then Christ comes back. This is his second coming. This is not the rapture. In the rapture, he comes to the air, calls us up and out. And we go out. That's the rapture. In the second coming, he comes back to the earth. He comes back to the Mount of Olives, right where he ascended from. Zechariah says so. And so forth. But this is his second coming. And verse 11 through 16 is the second coming of Christ in order. So before Christ comes back, he gets married to his bride, who becomes his wife, who is all the people of faith, people who are called saints. And he gets married to them, then he comes back. And we're actually called, we're not called a wife, we're not called a bride, we're called armies. Armies. I want you to notice in verse 14, "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." There we are. We're coming back with him. We're called armies. You know, there are denominations and different religions that's removing out of the songbook anything that has to do with militant or anything that has to do with military, like onward Christian soldiers. They're taking them out. Sound the battle cry, get it out of there. We serve a God of love. Get them out of that songbook. We're not singing them songs. You believe that? We're called the armies. We're to be a soldier today. And we're coming back with him in verse 14, the armies of heaven. Verse 15, "Out of his mouth goes the sword." We know what that is. That's the Word of God. The Bible says, Jesus said, "By my words thou shalt be judged." And that's the sword which is pictured in Hebrews and so forth. "Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword. With it he should smite the nations." I'm in 19, verse 15. "And with it smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treads the winepress to the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." And he's back on earth. And he's about to set everything right. And then verse 17, it don't take very long, is the battle of Armageddon. And basically, a supper for all the fowl, the buzzards, the turkey buzzards, all those that love to eat roadkill. "I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and them that sit on them, and the flesh of men." Little Rocket Man's in there. Big, powerful Putin's in there. Xi of China's in there. All those brutal dictators, the czars, all Stalin, the Lenin, Nazism, are all in there. Come, eat them up. Then the beast, in verse 19, "I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies together to make war against," again, "make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army." The beast, it didn't take long. Don't take God long. "And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which he had deceived, and he had received the mark of the beast. Them that worshipped his image, they were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh." And there is the end of the Gentile power, the Gentile world. There's the end of the demonic rule upon this earth. It's over. It's done. And Christ is back. Now, detailed somewhat of that event is in chapter 17 and 18. We're given, and periodically throughout different passages in the trumpet judgment, trumpet judgments, and the bowl judgments, and the three woe judgments, and so forth. They all fit in there. God judging this world. and this earth. But it's over. It's over. It's over, Satan. It's over, devil. It's over, Putin. It's over, little rocket man. The king's back. The king's back. Now, chapter 20. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He's coming for somebody. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. 1,000 years. Literal. 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit. And I like that next phrase. Isn't that wonderful? Shut him up. That's wonderful. And shut him up. And set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. We'll see the reason for that at the conclusion, probably 2 or 3 months down the road. Because we're going to probably spend at least 2 months on the subject of the kingdom. I saw thrones. This was promised to the 12 disciples. I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither in his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ. Reigned. There's where you get your word. Reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now, flip back with me, if you will, to a verse that we studied when we were beginning this in chapter 5. Those are the ones that came out of the tribulation. They're going to reign with him as well. But as we begin this, and in chapter 5 of Revelation, this is us in heaven after we are raptured. After we are raptured. And I just want, because of the sake of time, I just want to zero in on one verse. And has made us. Notice the previous, in verse 9, redeemed us. He redeemed us. Now he has made us unto our God kings and priest. And we shall, there it is again, reign. We shall reign. Now, there's going to be the ceremonial law reinstated to the nation of Israel during this 1,000 years. They're going to do sacrifices. That's all clearly given. The ceremonial law will be reenacted. There will be a temple. There will be daily sacrifices. There will be the animals that's slain. That's all given in detail in Ezekiel chapter 40 through 48. 8 chapters dealing with it. And I'll just say, many people say, why in the world would God have sacrifices when the sacrifice has already been made? It will be to Israel like the Lord's Supper is to us. They never got it the first time around. They didn't get it. That was a schoolmaster to bring them to Christ. And they didn't get it. So God said, I'll let you go through that again. So in the 1,000-year reign, there will be daily sacrifices, animals, bloodshed, because they didn't get it the first time. But it'll be a memorial. It won't be for sins. It'll be a memorial to show them, this is what I wanted you to do when you didn't do it. But it'll be like the Lord's Supper is to us. It'll be that to Israel. And that's going to take place. That's why you have the word priest. priests mentioned. Not only kings, but priests. And I told the students down at Marietta, I said, I've already claimed two cities. Moscow is mine, and Beijing. Yeah. Hey, we'll look at the parables that teach about it. Have 10 cities. You can have 10 cities. Rule over 10 cities. Yeah. You can be a president. You can be a mayor. Depends on what you're doing now. That's what all these rewards are for. Those rewards, remember we studied them. Jesus is going to give those rewards. We can give the rewards back to him. Then when he comes back, he has them upon him. And he says, my reward is with me to give to every man according as he has done. And so as we have served Christ faithfully in this day in our life, will depend on what we get to do for him in that day in our life. And we're going to be in our new glorified bodies. Hallelujah. And if I want to be in Jerusalem, I just say, I'll be in Jerusalem, I'll be there. At the speed of thought. I'm going to be like him. I'm going to be like him. I don't have to open the door. I don't have to get on a plane. Don't have to get in a car. Just spit. Woo! It's going to be a grand time. And there's going to be people like you and I are tonight that's going to be in there. But we're not going to be like them. They're going to be like the human race. Now, we taught that, and some people were scratching their heads, and even some of the students down in Marietta scratched their head. But as it was in the days of Noah, out of the ark came people that was put in the ark. And the people that were put in the ark were not all believers. You say, but there were Noah's sons and his wife. They were not all believers. Not everybody that went in that ark were believers. They came out of that ark, rebelled against God, produced Nimrod, went down into the Ur of Chaldees, and revolted against God. That came out of the ark. That came out of the ark. And they worshipped everything and anything that they could worship, except God. And that's what's going to happen in the tribulation. Just like he preserved physical life in the ark to repopulate the earth, he's going to preserve, and we saw that in Matthew, he steps in, shortens the time, so that flesh can be saved, and there will be human life preserved that will repopulate the earth once again. For this 1,000 years. And they're going to have their normal bodies like you and I tonight. But we're going to have our glorified bodies. And there's going to be a distinct difference between the two. And we will rule over them. They have ruled over us. Now we will rule over them. What a great time that's going to be. They're going to have to live restrained. They want to travel to another country. They got to get in a plane or a car. We can just think it and be there. We're going to be like him. Wow. Now, so we're going to be kings and priests unto him, and we're going to reign with him for 1,000 years. Now, the kingdom. We saw the chronological order. We saw it in chapter 19, the chronological order. And then we saw the end, the Battle of Armageddon, the invitation for the fowls. We saw Satan locked up, put away, shut up for exactly 1,000 years. There'll be no evil during that day. The only evil that will be is in the human heart of man that comes out of the tribulation. You would think that they'd seen enough during that time of the judgment of God. But man's heart, his heart is hard. You think of Pharaoh and all the judgment of God that Egypt went through after those 10 judgments and lost his own son and set the children of Israel free And then turned right around, changed his mind, and went after him. He was going to recapture him. And then he lost his own life. And they drowned in the Red Sea. What was this? What was salvation for the Jew was damnation for the Egyptians. Judgment. The same thing. What preserved and saved one killed the other. The same thing. The Red Sea. The Red Sea. Only God can do that. So, this is what's coming. This is what's coming. Now, a kingdom is not foreign to God. And people are confused about the kingdom. I want you to turn back with me, if you would, to the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples in Matthew. He was asked, teach us to pray. He was asked, teach us to pray. So this is in Matthew, one of the teachings of what we call the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. So in chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6, now my mind's tired. If I don't give references or something, or I don't make something clear, just throw something at me. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father. New concept. God, our Father. Abraham has been their father. Our Father, which art not in the Holy Land, not in Jerusalem, in heaven. New relationship. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. That's what he taught them. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So that is, now there, when you talk about God's will, there's God's will in many different directions and identities. God's will. It's not, God's not willing that any should perish. It's God's will for people to be saved. And you can just go on and on and on and on. God's will. One of the aspects of God's will is he wants an earth to function just like heaven. That's what he wants. I want the earth to function just like heaven. So he came to earth, created it, put man in it to have dominion over it, and to populate it with a people like God. There's a law of creation. Everything after its kind. That's a law of creation. A horse did not produce a cow. A monkey did not produce a man. Everything after its kind. That's the law of creation. And you can't change it one. You just can't do it. But they try. Everything after its kind. Then came the man. Let us make man in our image. Our image. After our likeness. And we were made in the likeness of God. Not in physical features. Because God is spirit. But in character. In nature. Our very essence. Our very being. Like God. We were created not as God, but in His image, like Him. Like Him. Like a cow. A cow don't neigh. A cow moos. A chicken squawks. A pig oints. You start having a chicken ointing and a pig clucking. You're going to scratch your head and say, what happened to you? Everything after its kind. And here comes along man, he's smarter than God, and says, there is no creation. And all the kids, and I can rant and rave on this, it doesn't do a bit of good, but all of our grandchildren and all of our kids were taught and being taught that's where they came from the animal kingdom. We didn't come from the animal kingdom. Everything after its kind. So God wanted an earth, and that's what He told Adam, populate the earth. So coming from Adam would be an earth populated after His kind, because Adam was created in the likeness of God. God created Adam in His likeness. Adam would have children after His likeness and populate an earth after the likeness of God. That's what God wanted. Didn't take long for Satan to step in and corrupted the whole program. And now we didn't have an earth populated after the likeness of God. We had a people created and birthed like the likeness of Adam, a sinful creature. A sinful creature. But God hasn't changed His program, and God hasn't changed His plan. So this 1,000 years will come. It will come. And there will be on this earth a people just like Him. We are them people. We're not like Him tonight, unfortunately. Like to be, but we're still in these old bodies. We're going to drop these bodies. They're not going with us. They can stay behind. And we're going to have our new glorified body. We're going to be like Him throughout eternity. But we're going to come back and rule and reign with Him. We are going to be kings and priests and reign with Him on the earth. And we, as the spiritual body and bride of Christ, will rule this world with humanity living like you and I do tonight under our authority. That's what's going to happen. And this world is going to get to see what God's like through us and through the King. And He will be in Jerusalem ruling, and we'll be ruling with Him, and we'll have cities we rule over. That's plainly laid out in the teaching in Matthew and Luke. Very clearly laid out. Have the authority over such and such and such. Now, what a wonderful time that's going to be. Now, if I were people like Trump, like Putin, like little Rocket Man, I believe, and Xi of China, some of these powerful people of this earth, I believe I'd think twice before I enacted to do something that would go against God, like killing a baby. Like killing the baby. That goes against God. That goes against the very nature of God. God is life. Killing a baby. I believe I'd think twice about that. Our president is the first president that had enough backbone to go to the March of Life rally in Washington and spoke. It could have been what he said at that rally could have been preached from his pulpit. I don't know if he believes it or somebody just programmed him. But anyway, a kingdom. Now, it'll take place. No Satan. No Satan. But we're going to have people that come out of the trib. And they're going to populate in their human bodies like you and I. They're going to fill the earth with a populace of people. We meet them people after the 1,000 years are over. Because man will live 1,000 years. A person that's 100, according to Isaiah, he's 100, he's considered a child. Don't need any hospitals except for them. Don't need any graveyards. Don't need any funeral homes. Man's going to live 1,000 years old. He's going to live the entire time. and we're going to rule over them. That's called the Millennial Kingdom of Christ. When I went to Romania years ago and was kind of ignorant concerning what the Baptists believed and worked with them for a number of years, I went to a rather large church with our college students to sing one Sunday morning, and probably 1,400 people in that building. And the pastor spoke English. He had been to America. And he told me, he even came up in our school and taught some of these kids in different classes. He said, "You can preach anything in my pulpit you want to preach, but do not preach anything about the kingdom." I said, "What?" He said, "You can preach anything you want to, but do not preach anything about a kingdom." I said, "Why?" "Because we don't want to be associated with the Jehovah's Witnesses." I said, "Pastor, you are robbing your people of wonderful truth." "I don't care. Don't mention it. I always respect the man's pulpit." And so I didn't say anything. Wasn't planning to anyway. But I was shocked. Then I got to looking into the theology of the Baptists in Romania, which is a European Baptist Union, like the Southern Baptist. They weren't Baptist at all. They didn't believe any doctrine we believe in. But anyway, that was the only time I ever was told, "Don't preach anything about a kingdom. We don't want to identify with Jehovah's Witnesses." Oh, what a poor excuse to eliminate truth. It's going to be a wonderful time. The desert's going to blossom like a rose. And the lion and the lamb will lay down together. And so forth. It's just going to be a wonderful. The earth curse will be lifted. Man that comes out of the tribulation is going to enter into a perfect world ruled by Christ and His armies. That's what we're called, His armies. And we're going to rule and reign with Him over these people that are in their natural bodies, and they're going to get a glimpse of what perfection is and what a perfect government is. It's going to be a theocracy where God rules for 1,000 years, literally 1,000 years. So the kingdom, God wants a kingdom. And the Bible says He taught them to pray, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. I want an earth just like heaven." Now, let's differentiate between the kingdoms. Let's go to the Gospel of John, to a very familiar character. John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus saith unto him, this is one of the dumbest questions man ever asked. This is one of the dumbest questions that man ever asked. "How can a man be born when he's old? That's religion. That's religion. Can he enter?" Listen to what he suggests. Here's a man, a Pharisee. He's a leader. He's an elder. He's one of the top dogs up in the echelon, ruler. "Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Nicodemus, you are capital D dumb. And this man's leading people. He didn't ask questions. He suggested answers. Oh, be careful when people ask questions followed up by a suggestion. Because they really don't want the question. They want their suggestion. And be careful with people who don't deal but dance around with it and come up with all these television and the radio air time. And I hear this more and more from pastors, that they are, and the internet is bad. The stuff that's being promoted across the airways today, 98% garbage. 98%. False teaching, misleading, confusing. And we wonder what happens to people. There's a leader. Look what he suggested. You know, you never know what you may do, but I think I scratched my head and said, would you explain that in a little more detail? So he does, but not to Nicodemus' request, to Nicodemus' dumb question and dumb suggestion. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit." Water being the physical birth, Spirit being the spiritual birth. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And that's very clearly laid out in verse 6. That which is born of the flesh, that's the water birth, which takes place at every birth. The water breaks, then the birth. So verse 6 explains it. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And believe it or not, there are denominations and religions that say born of water says that's, see right there, that's baptism. See right there, got to be baptized. Read on, friend. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That's the human life. That which is born of the Spirit. So we speak about the two births, our physical birth and our spiritual birth. And except we have the spiritual birth, we cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, let's let the Bible explain what the kingdom of God is. Turn back with me to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. Luke 17, verse 20, and we're going to be all over the Bible in the next few, several weeks. We're going to be all over the Bible, because this subject is just not something that's new. In Luke chapter 17, verse 20, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation or outer appearance. It's not something you see. Neither shall they say, Lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you, or in the midst of you. The kingdom of God is in the midst of you, and at this moment. The kingdom of God is not an outward show. It's not something physical that you can see. The kingdom of God is not in that nature. Now, look over in Luke chapter 19. They didn't get it. Chapter 19, verse 11, he's getting close to Jerusalem. And chapter 19, verse 11, the Gospel of Luke, "And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear." When he just told them, the kingdom of God comes not with observation. You wonder what people hear. You wonder what they hear. They don't come with observation, and they're thinking, well, it's going to appear any time. The kingdom of God doesn't come in appearance. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God does not come with observation. The kingdom of God is in the midst of us. Look with me, if you will, Romans chapter 14. This is where a lot of people get confused. Romans chapter 14. And this one verse, and I could read many others, but my unfriendly clock back there is not a friend with me again tonight. Romans 14, verse 17. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. And that's what these kings love to do. They sit around tables with their harem dancers and meat and drink and drunkenness, and that's what they're doing. The kingdom of God is not like that. It doesn't have an outward show. It doesn't have an outward show. It's not meat and drink. But the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And what he's just trying to get across to them, and I'm out of time, I go to other passages, we'll have to wait till next Sunday night. The kingdom of God is spiritual, not material. And if you ever want to see the kingdom of God, you've got to have a new birth. So you enter the kingdom of God by being born again. And that's a spiritual birth and a spiritual kingdom. That, my friend, is the kingdom of God. That's not the 1,000-year reign of Christ. That's not the 1,000-year reign of Christ. The kingdom of God is strictly spiritual. It doesn't come with observation. It's not meat and drink. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's what is called born, they told Nicodemus. If you ever want to see the kingdom of God, you've got to be born again. You've got to be born again. You've got to be born twice. Not just once. And that Pharisee, and Jesus rebuked him later and said, you're a leader in Israel and don't know this? You don't know this? So the kingdom of God is not something you see with thrones and kingdoms and material. The kingdom of God is spiritual and it is eternal. The kingdom of what we're going to study is temporal, material, and earthly. But you can't get into that earthly kingdom without being born into the spiritual kingdom. The way into this kingdom, notice the saints, they get married before he comes back. Remember this chronologically, put everything in order. They belong to him. By faith, they're called the saints. They have now been married to him. He brings them back. That's how they enter into the earthly kingdom. And without the new birth, without the kingdom of God, you can't get into the kingdom of what the Bible calls the kingdom of heaven, or under the heaven, which is material. It's earthly. It'll have thrones. It'll have kings. We'll be kings. We'll rule with him. Everybody clear with that? The kingdom of God is spiritual. Totally. It's not earthly. It's not temporal. It's eternal. You enter it by a new birth, by the Spirit of God. That's clear from the teachings of Jesus to Nicodemus. It's not meat and drink. It doesn't come with observation. What he was saying to these Pharisees was, it's among you. It's right here. It's me. They didn't get it. They didn't get it. And they kept thinking, when's this kingdom of God coming? The kingdom of God is spiritual. Spiritual. That's what prepares a person to reign with him in the temporal, earthly, material. Now, I'll lay this out very quickly and then we'll close. There is the Gentile kingdom under heaven. And there is the Jewish kingdom, known as the Davidic kingdom. And Christ told Mary Gabriel told Mary, he will come to fulfill the Davidic kingdom. Now, what's it going to be in the end time? This 1,000 years. The Gentile kingdoms are destroyed at the Battle of Armageddon. It's over. It's done. The Jews are in hiding. They're not pressured to receive a mark. They're down in what we call Petra. If you ever go to the Holy Lands, go to Petra. They didn't include it in my tour, but I'd have loved to went there. But that's where God will hide them the entire time. The nation of Israel, the Jews, except for the 144,000, which have the seal of God. That's the nation of Israel. When they see Him, they will see Him coming. Every eye will see Him. They that pierced Him shall mourn for Him. They will recognize we've been duped and deceived, and the nation of Israel will have national repentance at the second coming of Christ. And Christ will rule through the nation, not individually, but as a nation. God will rule through the nation of Israel, therefore fulfilling all the promises and the covenants with the nation of Israel and with David, their king. And that will be into the what we call the millennial kingdom of Christ. So we've had Gentile kingdoms, and we've had Jewish kingdoms, both of them, under heaven, ruling. What a mess have we been in. Look what man is doing. If this is a kingdom, bah humbug, is all I can say. But we got a perfect one coming. So that's just kind of laying a little bit of the format out of what we're going to be going into. And we're going to look at those prophetic passages concerning Christ. And we're going to look at the content, the character of the millennium, the purpose for it, the outcome of it, over the next several Sunday evenings. We'll be looking at the kingdom. But don't get confused. The kingdom under heaven compared with the kingdom above heaven. The kingdom of God is spiritual and eternal. And it takes a new birth by the Spirit of God to enter it. You're saved tonight, born again. You're in the kingdom of God right now. And you are a king. Right now. Hallelujah. And someday we'll get to rule. Oh, what a great future. Eternal that we have waiting for us. Okay. Well, I don't know about for you, but it's been a long day for me. I'm going to take this tired body home and lay it down. All right. Again, if something is not clear, I want to make this clear. And remember, and I remind you, we're speaking beyond the four walls of this building. And I want to remind you that. So I may revisit a lot of things that we taught in months, maybe even a year and a half ago, as we prepared and began this, because of our listening audience. Okay, thank you for coming out tonight. Shall we stand? Do keep Helen in prayer. She's very troubled. She's very, yes, Frosty.
Keep Debbie Nydick in prayer.
Debbie Nydick. Oh, gee. Yeah. She still live in Pennsylvania? Does she still live in Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
Debbie? Yeah. Keep Debbie Nydick. That's Loretta's daughter. And keep her in prayer. They're afraid the cancer has come back. So keep her in prayer as well. So let's close. Father, thank you for this blessed day called the Lord's Day, where we're counted worthy to be in thy presence with thy people around thy word. Lord, we pray that you take all that was taught today, here, tonight, this morning. May, Lord, you feed us with it, strengthen us with it, give us spiritual food for this week with it. And Lord, we pray that you keep us faithful and on track in these latter days. So many stumbling and falling by the wayside. Our Father, we pray that you keep us faithful and keep us on the right track each day that we live. And now, Lord, dismiss us with thy blessings upon us. Thank you again for another blessed day. We pray for Helen. God, comfort her tonight, we pray. Meet her needs. Strengthen her. And may she know the peace and the love of God in her heart. Be with Debbie Noddick tonight. We pray that maybe it was a mistake. The cancer has not come back. Lord, we leave her in thy hands. And we pray, God, for your will to be done there. Be with Carol and the complications she's having and many other people sick and ill. We pray for them that you administer to all their needs. Dismiss us with thy blessings upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.